Hello and welcome to the Planet FM meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6. My name's Judy and I'm an alcoholic and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I'll now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Thank you all for joining us this morning. Today our speakers are Calvin, John and Jane, and they will be sharing their experience, strength and hope. Right, Calvin, would you like to start us off, please?
Thank you. Hi, my name's Calvin. I'm an alcoholic. My journey with alcohol has been a long one. I drank terribly. I started as a teenager, and I drank myself. I eventually drank myself into wanting to end my life. When I started drinking, as a teen, I noticed very much that it would help me to feel less anxious. It would help me to feel more confident, and I really enjoyed that feeling. Anytime I suffered a lot with anxiety and depression as a young man throughout my whole life, really, and so I would always turn to alcohol to save me from those feelings. When I was young, I started my own business, and I started multiple businesses, actually. I landed up having seven. My disease is a disease of more, and I constantly need more of everything in my life. It went so bad that I landed up having seven businesses at the same time. I never stopped doing anything that I ever did. I overworked. I was an alcoholic. If I gambled, I over gambled. If I drank, I overdrank. When I shop, I overshop. It doesn't matter what I do. I did sport, and my sport was motorbiking, and I started doing some enduro. I then did hard enduro, and then that wasn't good enough, and I had to do extreme enduro. It doesn't matter what I touch, what I do, it's always too much. But with that in mind, it all takes its toll. The alcohol, the whole bit, and alcoholism being very much a disease of more, it worked for a while, and it was great. It was great when I was drinking for me at the times, and then it turned its back on me. And when it did, the depression and the anxiety all came back. So I went to the doctor and got some meds. When I had those meds, they helped for a bit. Then they turned their back on me, so I took more meds and went and got more. And they helped for a while, and same thing. And then I started mixing the booze and the pills. And before long, my life had spiraled out of control. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I was a complete wreck. I landed up in an institution in South Africa called the Keso. I was there for 28 days. I saw clinical psychologists and and all sorts of people in there. I was diagnosed with a dual diagnosis unit, bipolar and addiction issues. I didn't believe them in the beginning. I then went on to read up about alcoholism, bipolar. And I was like, yep, that makes sense. The highs and lows of the mood, I can appreciate that. And I accepted it. The addiction issues, I refused to accept. I knew that once I did, I would have to give up my drinking. So I went out and I went, after that, when I left the 28 days, I went to Mauritius for a while to try and relax. I came back and I realized that those people had a lot of good things to say. So I went back in for another 28 days. I did that and I learned quite a lot. I then left, didn't drink for a while, but I found myself falling into a morbid depression. From there, I went to back to the psychiatrist and I had to get shock therapy. Got some shock therapy, six different sessions over 6 weeks, and that brought my mood back to a reasonable place. I then realized that the life I had built in South Africa, with all the money, with all the business, with everything that I had, wasn't working. None of it was working for me. So I decided to pack up shop, and in a very big hurry, I almost gave things away. I left to, I came to New Zealand, found a job, and I wasn't drinking at the time. A few weeks in, I met up with some tablers. I was a member of Round Table in South Africa, and I had a beer in the city. By the second drinking session, I was drinking again to 6 a.m. in the morning, fighting with the New Zealand police in the city, still visiting as a visitor in this country. I didn't see that that was a problem. I just thought it was a wild night out. And that just continued. It just continued for years and years more like that. I ignored everything else that I'd learned in all the hospital and all the things that I'd done, and went carried on in my craziness. But again, it all turned its back. None of it was helping. None of it could help me even in the slightest. I landed up one day just completely giving up. And I sat on my porch and I slit my wrists. I slit down the wrist because I was ready to die. I had a blade, I dug it deep, and I was ready. I was done. I couldn't drink. I couldn't live with drink. I couldn't live without it. And I moved on to jump into the, to just to be dead. My wife obviously had come down. I thought they were all sleeping. She stopped me, got a friend to stop me, and we only saved my life. A little while after that, I went I wrapped my wrist and I realized that I need to do something. The next morning, actually, I came down, my wife was cleaning up my blood and my daughter, and I realized that what I had done was try and kill myself and let my daughter come down from the stairs and find me dead. I felt utter disgust in myself, utter disgust, and I thought, okay, I have to do something. I went to AA. My first meeting was in Whenuapai, in Whenuapai Primary School in Auckland, and I met some people, and I took to it straight away because I realized I have to do something. I got a sponsor within a week, and I did my steps diligently, and my life has changed fundamentally. I now sponsor other people, and my life has improved. When I on my way to the studio today, I leaned up the stairs and I said bye to my daughter. My daughter jumped. She ran down the stairs, jumped on me, cuddled me. My wife said to me that she would. She said, "Oh, I need to get on that action," and gave me a kiss. That's a stark difference. Everything in my life has improved. I have friends. I am a good friend. I now sponsor other men and help them. This program has saved my life in so many ways, and it's not just about alcoholism. That's the best part. It's a program for living. They offer a program for living, and I owe my entire life to it now. And I will continue. I'll just keep coming back and keep helping out if I can.
Thank you so much, Calvin. That was great share. John, would you like to share with us now, please?
Thanks, Judy. My name's John, and I'm an alcoholic. I grew up in a family with three brothers, four boys, a pretty stable parenting, well-respected in the community. I got offered, I had everything I needed. I played sports, I played music, I did art, I was good at a lot of things. But through all this value, all these things I had, I always felt I had no worth amongst people. I always felt that I wasn't good enough and I never quite fitted in. And I didn't really start drinking. Drinking never really took hold of me until I was in my mid-20s. But earlier on, when I was maybe 16 or so, you know, I came back from a rural bender and I had a terrible hangover. My granddad was an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. And my mum saw me this morning and she, you know, comically said, oh, shook her head and said, oh, John, there's no hope for you. And I never really understood what it meant. I mean, she said it in a jovial sort of teasing way, but way back then, I think she knew, you know, that I had something in me that was different. Went through college, went through high school, went travelling, came back, settled down, and life just got a bit boring, really, and drinking was something that made me, I know, feel a bit more alive, although it didn't really, okay? So I'd go to a party or something and thinking that I was going to, you know, fit in, and if I drank, I'd fit in. But really all it did was push me further and further away from what I wanted to achieve, and that was to be accepted and to be valued. It never really happened. So drinking continued. I became an all-day drinker. I became drunk in the morning before I went to work. It became a small, you know, those little bottles of vodka that you get. I maybe have one of those at lunchtime, then it was two, and then in the afternoon, you know, I'd go home and I'd smoke some pot and I would drink, and that became my life. It absolutely became my life, and it caught up with me. You know, I was a very functional alcoholic. You know, I could, you know, get along, and people respected me at work and what I did, and I taught people things. That whittled away and they caught on to me, and I was asked to leave a job that I'd been well valued at for over 12 years. And at the dinner, the farewell dinner, you know, I really didn't want to go and I was trying to get out of it, and they said, John, you have to come along to this dinner and celebrate your work here. And at that point it was, I have nothing to celebrate. Yeah, I have nothing to celebrate. I've lost all the respect in this company. Did the escape, got out of the town I was in, moved to a smaller town where I could actually drink quite happily without being disturbed. I was hiding away from the world, pretty much. I wasn't an out-there Yahoo drinker. I was a get-into-the-house, close-the-curtains, and drink-all-day drinker. And it took over my life, you know. Two DICs later, you know, I was still drinking. But during that time, my dad was put in a home. I'd had two boys, you know, and they were teenagers at this stage. And I'll always remember them when we went to visit my dad, you know, a well-respected man in the community, but his alcohol had taken control of him and he was a speck of what he used to be. And I can remember taking the boys in to see him, and I would have to sort of guide the conversation and try and prompt him because, you know, he'd been drinking, he was, you know. And my boys would stand at the back of the room like deers in front of headlights. They were just stupefied. They did not know what to say, what to do. They were uncomfortable. They were horrified by the whole thing. And As it went on, you know, he passed, and at his funeral he was well respected, and they heard many things that they'd never ever thought existed in that man. My drinking continued. It got to a point where I was falling over. I'd been to AA previously, but it hadn't taken hold. I was pretty much just doing lip service. I was saying the words, but I wasn't feeling that I was a true alcoholic. I wasn't feeling that my life was absolutely unmanageable, which it was absolutely becoming. My son, who means a lot to me, I mean, he carried me into A&E when I had collapsed one stage. He literally carried me in there, and he sat there while I was shaking and I couldn't roll cigarettes, I couldn't use my phone. And I was talking to about it with a guy at a concert, and he said, well, maybe you just haven't been hurt enough yet. Time went on, went to this town, drank, fell over, got knocked unconscious. My brother ended up coming and taking me away. And I ended up in hospital. And the next day, I got a call from the son. And he said, Dad, you know, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think that you're dead. I would never forgive you if you died from alcoholism. And I just want you to get back to the man that you used to be. And at that stage, I was hurt enough. At that stage, I had hit my rock bottom. I knew that my life was absolutely unmanageable. And at that stage, I moved to Auckland and went into a treatment centre. I learnt about AA, and I took it seriously this time. I learnt what an alcoholic really was. I learnt the steps, and I took it on board. I worked through it. I came out thinking that, you know, I've stopped drinking. But that was only part of the journey. You know, to stop drinking is one thing, but to actually truly accept that I'm an alcoholic and that I have to live with that all my life and be comfortable with it, that was it. And that's what AA taught me, how to do that. No longer do I have to fight the world. No longer do I think the world has to evolve around me. I live in the world, you know, I am one small piece. Now I have, some people say that the road narrows, but for me the road has absolutely got wider and there are options at every turn. Today I find, given these options, I'm able to live in solutions rather than living in the problem that was my alcoholism. AA is about change. AA is about action. I decided that action had to be taken, and I have changed. I'm still the person I was. I have, but I no longer play act. You know, I can be the person that I always wanted to be. And through all this, I have found that I am now getting back what I'd always wanted earlier on in life. I'd always wanted that acceptance. I'd always wanted to be seen of my full worth. And just through being me, just through living me, just through living the soul that lives inside me and that something has given me, it's easy. It's life is fantastic, and I am very grateful for AA for sharing and showing me that all I need to be is me. Okay, thanks, Judy.
Thanks, John. That was great sharing. And Angela, would you like to share with us, please?
Hi, I'm Jane and I'm an alcoholic.
Apologies.
It's alcohol. I grew up in a family where alcohol was part of my life from a young age. I didn't quite realise until a bit later in life how this would affect myself, my whole family, and relationships with people around me. I could see that people in my life were what I thought were misbehaving when they drank. They became a different person. There were a lot of emotions and violence and other things in my life that I was predisposed to. I knew this wasn't quite right, but I had no idea of exactly what was going on or why it was happening. I decided I would never become like that, and my life would be more like in line with the Brady Bunch or something that I would see on the TV, where people sat around the dinner table and didn't get drunk and actually talk to each other. However, as life progressed which it does, I became an alcoholic myself, and perhaps I always was. I was predisposed to becoming an alcoholic. It was in my family. Some of the behaviours I experienced growing up were there. And so some of those ideas and behaviours were already implanted in my mind from a young age. Of course, I tried to sort my life out by myself as best I could. I tried to study. I tried to get a good... I did study. I got a good job. I tried to hang out with some great friends, and I did. But somehow the alcohol pervaded into my life. I found I didn't actually start drinking probably heavily till I was in my 20s, because of course I was not going to become that person. In my 20s, I could drink. I could drink all night. I could go out and have fun. It was a social thing to do. It was kind of cool and acceptable. And, you know, I did the OE and I went to university and did all those things that you do when you're young. I thought I might have a bit of a problem with it, but then, you know, I was living my life. I wasn't in the gutter or nothing major. You know, there were no major consequences in my life happening that I thought at the time. Come my 30s, I had a couple of major life events that sort of threw me off my orbit. So I thought I had all my ducks in a row, but then my ducks flew away, and I was left very hurt and upset and with a lot of emotions. I didn't know how to deal with those emotions, so I started drinking in a different way to what I had before. My alcohol became more of a type of medication to deal with my upset, my hurt, my pain, my anxieties. And on hindsight, as a child, I had a lot of those anxieties even at that stage, and I can see it now. I understand that better. So I started drinking and becoming this person I vowed I would never become. I drank in front of my child, which I vowed I would never do because I didn't want to be that parent. I still functioned. I still went to work. I still, you know, held down a good job. I still maintain a home. But my drinking was becoming worse and worse. It was becoming more secretive, and I was just using it as a source of covering up my emotions or blanking life out. My self-esteem was becoming lower and lower. The alcohol was taking over. I guess you could say my life was becoming unmanageable. Family members who were worse off than me, were worse off than me, I tried to help them with their alcohol problems because I thought, I'm strong, I can do this. I can be supporting to them. I've lost a family member at age 50 due to alcohol. That was one of the things that sort of woke my ideas up to, do I want to be that person? Do I want to be dead at age 50 through alcohol and associated issues? I also had a major, a vehicle crash, and I was lucky to come out of that. I was drunk. I was lucky to survive that. In fact, I was told that it was a miracle. So I guess you could say that to me was a pretty much a rock bottom. I thought my life was really over at that stage, and I thought I'd ruined everything. I didn't know what to do with myself. I had just been made redundant as well a bit earlier in that, and had another couple of issues which, yeah, weren't that good, or I didn't know how to handle it. So I phoned up a lady from AA, and she said, come to a meeting. I said, oh, how's that going to help? I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do. I've done this, this, and this in my life. And she said to me, come to a meeting. I will pick you up. And so I went to a meeting, and I kept going to a meeting. And now I've been sober 10 years. And I understand. I understand about the hurt that little girl had growing up in that family. I understand that my family members weren't bad people. They were actually really nice people. They just had a disease called alcoholism. I understand that this is a disease of the mind, that you become addicted to certain things. Alcohol, some people are addicted to drugs. And then you can be predisposed to it. If like myself, you've been brought up in a family and you see that's how your family members deal with their problems. They don't talk about it. They drink and they yell at each other and they do other things that probably aren't quite appropriate. So going to AA and keep coming back. After 10 years, I keep coming back and I sit there and I listen. I listen to people who understand these problems and these issues. And I really appreciate AA. It's a really great society to belong to. Before I came to AA, I did try a few different things. I tried going to CADS. I tried controlled drinking. I was told, I'm not really an alcoholic. You're just a binge drinker. You're just a heavy drinker. You don't really have a problem. You'll be all right. So I did a lot of research. I tried to drink just a certain type of alcohol, just on a certain time. And I can tell you, I did a lot of interesting research, but none of it worked at the end of the day. So, hey, I concede I'm an alcoholic. And step three of the AA says the only thing I need to do or want to do to be part of the AA group or fellowship is have a desire to stop drinking. And that's what I want. I can't say my life has become 100% perfect since I've stopped drinking, but I have learnt how to live my life without the cuckoo bananas behaviour and the respect of, and love of my son and friends. I really hope to share my message today and pass it on to people who may be feeling as I was or have been, and that they may find the strength and hope through AA and realise what a great place it is to find that support. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jane. Right, that's all we have time for today. So thank you to Calvin, John and Jane for sharing with us today and for joining us in the studio, and to all of you for listening. We are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m. here at Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757. Or go to the AA website at aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information. And could we all please, could you all please join me in saying the Serenity Prayer? Thank you. God,
grant me the serenity